I'm Aaron, that's Will. We are bringing you the passion, tradition, and drama of college football to listeners down under. Because we fucking love college football.
They hand it off to Johnson. Boise State has won the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Can you believe it?
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State. And he scores on the last play of the game! Unbelievable!
And welcome to another episode of College Football Down Under. My name's Aaron Kemp and I am here with my good mate Will Muirden, donning a bucket hat tonight. How are you going, Will?
I am well, my friend. How are you?
Good. I'm excited about tonight's episode. Firstly, it's feels like spring is in the air all of a sudden. We've had a bit of sunshine, nearly got to about 20 degrees today, hasn't rained, so I'm excited about that.
It is almost football season.
It is almost football season, so that is good. Tonight we're going to start with a preview of one of the Power 5 conferences, the Big 12 tonight. I know you're excited about that. Being an Oklahoma State fan, going to Oklahoma State for a semester on exchange. So we get to talk about your Cowboys for one. And we get to talk about all the other teams in the Big 12 and how probably the Big 12 is going to fall short in the national championship race.
Ooh, we're making those bold statements right from the get-go.
Yes, I am coming out the gates pretty hot today.
No, I'm not big on that. I'm going to wave the flag for the Big 12 this year, so I am refusing to write them off. All that said, if it's IU who's representing, then yes, girl.
Okay. Well, we are going to jump straight into a little bit about the Big 12, and then we'll give you a couple of reasons why you should, as a potentially a new viewer to college football, why you should follow one of these teams from the Big 12. We'll try and give you a pitch as to what they're going to look like this year and why they may be exciting or maybe why they're not going to be. But we will start with a little bit of history. The Big 12 is the newest conference of the power of Division I football. Started in 1994, but football didn't start until 96. So super, super late there compared to some of the other conferences, which have been around for a lot longer than that. When the Southwest Conference fell, they arose out of the ashes of that, I suppose, as the Big 8. And if you want to know a little bit more about the Southwest Conference, check out ESPN 30 for 30, the Pony Express, about SMU, Eric Dickerson, and the potential or definite cheating that was going on there. Check that out and give you a bit more background. Most of the teams centered around the South, in the heartland of Texas. Also, teams like Colorado, Nebraska, Texas A&M, Missouri have come through, but Texas seems to be the big boy in the conference. Originally, it had two pools of six, so back when there was 12 teams involved, obviously Big 8, went to the Big 12, two pools of six, made making the Big 12 championship relatively attainable for most teams. Kansas State made it more times than they do now. Realignment that happened in the 90s, again in 2005 and then again in 2014, has left them with only 10 teams. They ended up in one pool and worked similar to the Premier League in soccer, where the top team would come out on top after the years playing. Everyone played everyone. The team that came on top won the Big 12. National Football Championship comes along. You need a semi-finalist. The Big 12 are getting one less game than all the other big conferences, so they decide to put in a Big 12 Championship game, which means that first and second at the end of the minor round, so to speak, go and play in the championship game. Last year, that was Oklahoma and TCU, of which Oklahoma won and represented the Big 12 at the National Championship playoff and made those semi-finals. So that gives you a quick look at the Big 12. In terms of what the Big 12 does, you know, the guy who's watched far more Big 12 football than I have will be able to tell you a little bit about, I mean, what is the Big 12 about?
It's all offense. It is all offense, and it's good fun to watch. It's what I have really got into in my you know, following of Oklahoma State. So I pay a lot more attention to it. It's just good fun. It's an open spread game. Teams chuck it around the yard. They're not, you know, your Texas Techs, your Oklahoma States, that mold. Not afraid to throw the ball 40, 50 times a game. Some will still pound the ball, but it's up-tempo. There's a lot of plays being run, and with that comes a lot of yards and a lot of scoring. So it's good fun.
And a lot of interceptions. Generally speaking, with that, quarterbacks, those systems have produced a lot of, you know, statted up quarterbacks in the day. Most recently, Baker Mayfield and Mason Rudolph have come out of the Big 12. Baker Mayfield, of course, is going to the Cleveland Browns. He's going really, really well in camp and looks to be the starter down there. Mason Rudolph has ended up at Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's not going so well at Pittsburgh.
Do you think Baker's going to get the job above ahead of Tyrod?
Tyrod, yeah, well, he has just changed his name, hasn't he?
It's Tyrod Taylor.
It's Tyrod Taylor.
He's going to start.
Former Ohio State, was he a Buckeye? Tyrod Taylor? I can't actually remember.
You are digging in the archives.
Yeah, I am. Sorry, that's going back a while. But yes, I think he will. I think he's doing everything right at this stage.
Anyway, Tyrod's got that.
Let's not discuss how to pronounce his name. Apparently, he doesn't even know. And his mum calls him Ty, apparently, so who knows. In terms of teams in the conference, Oklahoma, although while Texas is the biggest money maker for sure and has probably the biggest following, Oklahoma is the top dog in terms of games won down there. But
are we talking all-time or recently?
Recently.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Recently. So Texas and Oklahoma are the big ones. Outside of that, there's a few other teams that probably most, I guess, casual viewers perhaps won't know as well, and we'll take you through those. Now, the guys in which we are going to pitch this again, I'll mention it again, is that we're going to sell you on these teams. So if you're new to college football and you want a team, and you want a team that plays a lot of offense, you've come to the right conference. Now it's just a matter of which of these 10 teams do I pick?
I just hope that our salesman skills are better than us buying things, like when we tried to buy the van in the States. That was part of this falls on me in terms of the negotiations, where you really had like a proper stare down going with, you know, they'd pitched a price and you talked it down. I could not handle the awkwardness of it, and I just, yep, we'll go with that. Just had to slide in there.
And I'm not exactly good at bartering either. I just had read about this somewhere. I'd seen it on like a movie or something. So I assume this is what you do. I don't know
what to do with my hands.
I mean, they really stayed steadfast though. They didn't budge on that price. And
they saw us as the suckers everywhere. But I mean, it was good. We bought the
Oldsmobile. White. The Oldsmobile.
The Oldsmobile for $3,000 and sold it for a ride to the airport. So...
with a bungs, and we had to replace the starter motor in it as well. So, yeah. Also, I remember driving at night, some of the lights didn't work. That was a bit sketchy.
Well, the fuel, so we had to mark out the miles.
That's right, yeah. Gee, the memories. Anyway, well, I did most of the driving, so I nearly crashed this once. No, all good. So where are we going to start tonight? Let's start. Let's go with you, Will. You'll jump in with...
Okay, I'm gonna sell you on a team based out of... just outside of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We're going to look at the TCU Horned Frogs and why I think they are a good team to get around. And this is a genuine one. I mean, some of this I'm going to be talking crap. But for TCU, I genuinely think they're a good team to start supporting because of where they've come and where they sit in the national landscape of things. So this is not a powerhouse program. This is a school that's made their way up from the old Mountain West Conference that were able to jump up into the Big 12, who were always strong at the group of five level and always kind of outperformed that level and would match it with some of the bigger guys. And now they've come up to the Big 12. They've shown that they've got what it takes to stick around. Because they're in that highly populated area, they've got plenty of recruits available to them. They're starting to see an upswing in that. They've got one of the best coaches in all of college football, in Gary Patterson. And he's probably of a bit of a different mold in the Big 12 because he's a defensive guy. He runs a really fun 4-2-5 defense that has a big propensity to turning the ball over. He sends a lot of blitzes, a lot of different looks. So on that side of the ball, they're interesting to watch. And then on the flip side, they do run up scores. They've had a couple of good quarterbacks come through there. Most recently was Kenny Hill, who was a bit of a highlights package himself. Would do it through the air and he could run around. So in terms of where they sit, they're not one of the powerhouse teams, but they're consistently churning out, you know, 11 win seasons, having done so three of the last 4 years. So you're going to have fun watching them because they're successful. I mean, this year, I think they might drop a little bit. They may struggle. They've lost a bit of talent. They've got a new starting quarterback in Sean Robinson. But, you know, that on the defensive side, they're bringing back a lot of experienced players, and they've got probably my pick for defensive player of the year in the Big 12 in Ben Banagoo,
yeah.
On the defensive end there, who's just a wrecking ball, and I expect big numbers from him. So, in summary, TCU kick off the season with a massive opener against Ohio State. That's going to have, you know, huge implications for how the season plays out between the Big Ten and between the Big 12 and the bragging rights there. So if you want to get around a team that potentially has the chance to get that first win and set the destiny of the Big 12, TCU are your team.
Okay, very convincing. I don't mind TCU. I like their 4-2-5 split field coverage, revolutionise the game a little bit. They win a lot of games. They are going to win. They'll be around the mark again next year. They are, you know, 11, you know, continually winning 11 games a season. And hey, there's plenty of higher profile teams that do worse than that.
That confusion in Aaron's voice there was my little horned frog hand symbol.
Yeah, I didn't know what you were doing there.
It's an odd one. I don't know. Look it up. Yeah,
okay. We'll just push on through this awkward little patch. All right, I'm going to jump. Well, I'll stay in the state and I'll go to Texas Tech. So Lubbock, Texas.
Rec'em Tech.
Okay, the reason you should follow Texas Tech. I'm going to give you three reasons. Cliff Kingsbury could get fired. And for the female listeners, he's pretty attractive. So you may not see his face on television again after this season. That is reason number one. It's a bit of an obscure one.
I'm just struggling to follow the logic here. So we should follow them if we're a female.
Yes,
because
correct. Cliff Kingsbury is quite attractive.
Going to get fired.
Possibly.
So it's like
this is your last chance. This is your last chance. Limited chance.
Small window to watch it.
Yeah. Okay. Texas Tech, the kind of poster boy outside of probably Washington State in the Pac-12, but the poster child for the air raid offense. Okay, so they obviously throw the ball a lot. Still got that power run, zone run game to accompany it, but definitely throw a lot of balls, which is great if you're interested in offense. For them this year, though, the difference is going to be their defense. So they, you know, have got 10 starters returning on defense, and they're going to have to hold up the end of the deal rather than it being the offense this year. So while they'll still sling it around and have a good time, put up yards and put up points, so will everyone else in the Big 12. And that's going to be their undoing, unfortunately, for Texas Tech. And I'm supposed to be trying to sell you on them.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Yeah, sorry. They do have Dakota Allen, the linebacker. He should get drafted. So, and if you've watched Last Chance U, he went to EMCC. So you may recognize him from there. He's one worth watching. And my third and final reason, while my first two were pretty obscure, I had to dive deep here for Texas Tech. So Cliff Kingsbury being attractive, their defense should be pretty good. And lastly, our boy Dominic Panizzolo from Adelaide, South Australia, is their starting punter. He was a member of the South City Chiefs, which is the club that we played at. Attended Snow College in Utah. Came out as the number two punter, and he's, you know, done a really good job down there. He's a self-proclaimed dual threat punter. I don't really know what that means, but I'm sure he'll know something about it. So he's looking to build on a really big season from last year and push up into the upper echelon of punters this year. So that is why, if you get around an Aussie, get around Dom, and get around the Red Raiders,
I can endorse that message. Our boy Dom. I mean, I don't know where that dual threat punter comes from because he ran some lazy ass routes out at receiver. I mean,
he did.
He moved all right. He's a big guy, yeah, but geez, just lazy, Dom. Come on, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, we'll get him on the show one day. Where are you going next, Will?
I'm going to take a country road.
Oh, God, that is gross. That is a gross intro.
That is a great segue. I do not know what you're talking about. We're going to take that country road up to West Virginia.
Morgantown,
where if you like to have a good time...
Like setting couches on fire.
If you like to burn things within your house, which, you know, I have been known to enjoy from time to time, then West Virginia is your team. They are a fun, high-tempo, fast, high-scoring, aggressive team that are great to get around. And the fans are weird, which is awesome. Because you know they're going to be drinking from 6 a.m. that morning, game day. And you're going to see some crazy-ass stuff every home game. Whenever I see Oklahoma State having to play in Morgantown, I'm terrified. Because even when West Virginia aren't very good, it is a tough place to play. And I could understand that because it's scary out there. That being said, this year, they're going to be good.
Okay. What makes them good? Obviously, Will Greer's the guy this year.
Yeah, he's preseason All-American by the looks of things.
And what are you thinking out of him?
He's going to have a massive year. He was a highly sought-after recruit. Started out at Florida. Had some issues down there. Ran into a bit of performance-enhancing suspension. Had some of that clenbuterol, which will get you. But had to sit a little bit. Ended up transferring out, spent some time in JUCO. I think he went the JUCO route, or his city year.
I can't remember.
I'm just talking on the fly here.
Yeah, you are.
But now, after a solid year last year at West Virginia, where he was on track to put up huge numbers before going down with injury, he is set for a monster year and has an absolute weapon of a receiver in David Seals.
Yep.
So the two of them, both pairing as first-team All-Americans, look to have them right in the conversation for the Big 12 picture. So if I'm a bit out there, you know, if I'm a bit off the beaten path and I want to get around a team that's a little bit weird.
Or if you've got a mullet.
Or if you have a mullet, like to chew a dip.
Yeah.
Don't mind that second cousin of yours. Think she's not bad looking. Then West Virginia is your football team.
Having said that, I actually do rate West Virginia. I like Dana Holgorsen, the head coach. Yeah, things get a bit weird out there in Morgantown, but they should be around the mark come the end of the year. Is that a fair assessment, Will? Or?
Yeah, I think so. I think as long as Will Greer can stay healthy, then they're definitely going to be around. I think depth might be the issue. So if they get a good run, they could definitely be in the picture as a Big 12 contender. But
they got a tough non-conference schedule. I just had a quick look there. They face Tennessee to open the season at NC State, which is going to be tough. I actually, that could make or break their season a little bit. And you know, that's not an easy out of conference schedule for them. But we'll see how they go. I think West Virginia could be around the mark. I don't see them making the championship game, but always a good team to follow, always a bit of fun, and they'll make headlines rightly or wrongly this year, I would think. All right, I am going to shoot to a team that I'm not sold on. They're going to be preseason ranked, I would say, and that is Kansas State, the Wildcats from Kansas State. They beat UCLA in the Cactus Bowl last year. Bill Snyder, who could pass away during the season, I don't know.
Dude is old.
He's old. He's turning 79 during the season. Just signed a 5-year contract, actually. So he has been around a long, long time. And they, if you want something a bit different, I think Kansas State brings something a bit different. Less on the weird side, but they're going to run more power. They're going to slow the game down a bit. They're going to run with their quarterback. They're going to pass a little bit less. And they'll control games, they'll control the clock, they'll play a little bit better defense. And, you know, if you're into offensive line play, if you're into running back play and you're into defense, then maybe Kansas State is the team for you. They're possibly not the most entertaining. I don't know. I'm not sold. I don't love them if I'm picking a team in the Big 12. I know I'm supposed to be trying to sell you on Kansas State and why you would follow them. But without having a high-powered passing attack and without having any Australians on the team, I don't know if I can go into bat for Kansas State too much. I think they'll win a lot of games. I think they will, you know, finish in the top four of the Big 12. Their schedule shapes up pretty well. They get Texas, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech at home. They, you know, wear purple. I'm running out of ideas here for K-State.
I mean, they're always a competitive unit. Yeah. So they're always around the mark, and they're well coached by Bill Snyder. And they often have themselves a big-ass quarterback too.
Yeah, yeah.
They go with a big quarterback who's not afraid to run, and this isn't someone who's skirting around the outside. This is someone who's running between the tackles and looking to run dudes over. And that's good fun to watch because, you know, normally your quarterback's a smaller guy, but at times at the college level, he's a dude who'll run over linebackers. So that's always a bit of an attraction for the old Wildcats.
Wildcats from K-State. So I think they'll finish, you know, like I said, I think they'll finish in the top four, but I think they are going to be not particularly entertaining, but we'll see how we go with K-State. Hopefully I'll find some more attractive things for them as the season progresses.
Yeah, let's hope so, because I ain't buying what you're putting down there.
No, I reckon they'll be okay. I reckon they'll be okay.
Now I'm on board. Now that you've said that bit, I'm in. Yeah, sorry, not bad.
Let's move on, hey, Will.
Okay, we'll go to the other team in Kansas.
Oh.
Whom I have prepared notes for like you would not believe. If...
One word, I reckon, for Kansas.
Yeah, it's basketball. I mean, if you are not all that into college football, but, you know, you want to tell girls that you're cool because you follow college football, then say Kansas, because then you can watch the basketball side of things and things will go really well. And when football rolls around, you don't really care anyway, so whatever. I mean, yeah, they're the whipping boys of the Big 12. They've been a laughing stock for quite some time now. They're really not even competitive. I don't remember the last Big 12 game that they won. And they're not in the running more often than not. It's a bit of a bye week for most Big 12 teams. And they're really kind of a bit alone in that, especially with the resurgence of Iowa State and Texas Tech always being, you know, competitive. They're the only team that's a bit of an easy beat. So they don't even have games where they can be competitive with other Big 12 schools because they are a true step below. So I'm selling the hell out of them here because...
Well, you'll get them cheap.
Yes. I mean, if they are at a price, it is bargain basement. But at the same time, as I say, their basketball program is top-notch, one of the best in the country. So they got that.
It is. Tough sledding, I think, for Kansas again. The good news for them is they probably can't go any worse. So if you want to get a team that can only get better, maybe Kansas is your buy.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk KU. You don't know what that means. No one really knows what it means, but it's a thing.
All right. I'm going to go from one bad team to another bad team. Last year, they've coming off the back of some really, really good seasons. Baylor, if you ever followed Robert Griffin III, is out of Baylor. They had some really, really good years under Art Briles. There was an investigation that went on there about some illegal activities and they all got swept under the carpet. And a lot of people got in a lot of trouble. Art Briles isn't there anymore. And now Baylor aren't much of a team anymore. He was a really, really good offensive guy. The big news for them, why I think you could buy up on Baylor is I think they will get better again. We visited Baylor, really nice campus, really enjoyed it. It is really, really nice. We actually saw them train. I think Jarrett Stidham was there, who's now at Auburn, of course. I think he was there training when we were there.
That would make sense, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Baylor, I think, are going to struggle again this year, but they will come back. Baylor will be good again at some stage. It's not going to be this year. It's not going to be possibly the year after, but the resurgence will come. Matt Rule,
this is an investment you're talking
about. I'm talking investment. Matt Rule's a good coach. Okay, he's done a really, really good job. Did some good stuff at Temple. So he should be good. They get a transfer in Tennessee, former Tennessee running back Jalen Hurd, who is an absolute weapon of a man. They've moved him to wide receiver. He seems to have turned his life around, and he's, you know, doing some really, really good things at receiver. So he should be fantastic. They don't have any Australians, unfortunately, for us. So from an Australian investment perspective, there's not much there. They've got a couple of good quarterbacks and a wide receiver in Denzel Mims. So while the rebuild is on, I think in terms of an investment for the future, I don't mind getting around Baylor. Any thoughts on Baylor?
Waco, Texas.
Yeah.
Not known for the greatest of things with the whole David Koresh cult little thing that he had going on there.
Oh, yeah, that did happen there
as well. That did not end well.
Yeah.
The football program's been through that recently. They've got the reality TV program Fixer Upper with Chip Gaines that I am a fan of, based out of Waco. So if you're into your Nine Life like my partner is, then maybe that's it. Apart from that, you're right. They're going to struggle this year. They were looking like a really good team, but it was because they were doing some really dodgy stuff. They were getting the worst of the worst in terms of players who were not abiding by the rules of humanity, really. And they were kind of turning a blind eye to a whole heap of dodgy stuff that was occurring and a whole heap of dodgy people who were quite athletic and were delivering on the field. But as a result of this, it's essentially crippled the program and put them in a real hole that they need to try and get themselves out of.
Yeah, well, I think Matt Rule's doing a good job of cleaning that up. And, you know, they'll be back. They'll be back, Baylor, I think. It may take a while. I mean, I hope they're back is, you know, a way of looking at it as well. There's teams that have had the book thrown at them before and struggled to clamber out of that hole. I think Baylor will get out of there. Now, enough about Baylor. Let's head back across the border, back across the Red River, I assume, because there's only two teams that you've got left.
I have two teams that I love, and my acting skills are just
limited.
Yes, not great. So let's go OU. Boomer Sooner. Yeah. Okay, so what can I tell you about the Oklahoma Sooners? Yes, they've been dominating the Big 12 for quite some time now. Yes, they won the Big 12 last year and represented the conference in the playoff, the first Big 12 team to do so. And yes, you know, they're loaded with talent and look ripe to go again. So, yeah, they got that going for them. But they've lost Baker Mayfield, so he's gone, replaced him with Kyler Murray, who, by all accounts, is a heck of a baseball player. He was drafted like fifth overall to the Oakland A's, which is insanity. He'll be competing for the quarterback position, so I don't think he's sewed that up yet, which will be an interesting one to play at. But I don't know. I'm really struggling to sell this team to anyone because I just hate them. So I'm checking out. You take this one over, Big 12.
Okay. Oklahoma are going to be good. I don't think they're going to be that good. I think the Big 12 is going to be down, which is going to hurt Oklahoma.
Whoa. I'm going to stick up for the Big 12.
The Big 12 is going to be down this year. You had your go. You bloody pipe down. I think they get an interesting couple of out-of-conference games. They get UCLA under Chip Kelly, for those people that followed San Francisco or followed the Philadelphia Eagles, or followed Oregon before that. So UCLA have got Chip Kelly as the coach. That's a noon kick. It is in Norman, so you think they'd get the better of that. They play Army. Jim Munkin's doing some really good thing with the Black Knights at Army and running that triple option. It'll be interesting to see how Oklahoma go there. I mean, again, that's a home game, but if they get behind, it could be interesting. Obviously, if they get in front, Army don't have the game style to be able to catch that up. And outside of that, I mean, they play Oklahoma State in Norman. They have to travel to TCU, and they get Texas in the Red River Rivalry at the Cotton Bowl. So, and last game of the year, which could be an interesting one actually, is at Morgantown, West Virginia. So, I'm hesitant as well on Oklahoma. I think they're going into the season ranked number 5. I think as high as number 5 in the preseason polls. And I just don't think they've got Rodney Anderson at running back, who's very, very good. The offense will run through him. But I am a little bit off Oklahoma. I know people talking about him making the championship, the playoff again. I don't think they've got the elite talent, and I don't think they've got the quarterback. You need a quarterback to get there, unless you've got an elite defense, like a Clemson or someone like that. But you just have to have that quarterback, and the way the game goes in the Big 12, you have to score points, you got to put up yards, and if you're off on your day, you could lose by 3 touchdowns. And I feel that's what happened in at Bedlam last year in Oklahoma State. High scoring shootout game. Oklahoma were just a little bit more on. Oklahoma State just missed.
I like how I've tainted you against them, though.
You have.
I
wasn't
overly convincing either. So
yeah, no.
I've done my job as a Cowboy fan.
Okay, so in summary of Oklahoma, they'll continue to be good. If you're interested in a team that will continue to be good, Oklahoma will be that. They're well coached with Lincoln Riley. So there's a lot to like about Oklahoma moving forwards. And there's no reason that they're going to get any worse over the next few years. So you can enjoy a successful team in Oklahoma, or certainly a team that will be at the pointy end. Now, I was going to talk Red River Rivalry, brought up Texas. I was going to talk about Texas, but I'm actually going to give some more airtime to our Australian mates. So we're going to go ahead to Ames, Iowa. So it's first reason you should get on board the Cyclones is Corey Dunn from Numurkah in Victoria, which is a small town outside of Shepparton in country Victoria. So he is going to be their punter there. Came via the College of San Francisco. Number one JUCO punter, so he will see plenty of action there, suiting up for the Clones.
Is he on the Rhaegar watch list?
He's not.
Should be.
He should be. So hope we'll keep a very close eye on Corey Dunn and see how he goes. Second reason, I think that Matt Campbell is a fantastic football coach. He has been talked about in circles as this being his last year at the Cyclones, as the big schools will come a-calling, and maybe the hottest coaching prospect heading into next year. And, you know, last year they went 8-5, and that is, you know, a little bit unheard of for Iowa State. That doesn't happen too often for them. They were sort of always that team that would upset someone late in the season. But, you know, last year they put on a really, really good show. Got to 8-5 and they won their bowl game against Memphis in quite a good game to watch, actually. So get on YouTube and watch that one. That's not too bad a game to watch. They've got David Montgomery at running back. He's likely to get drafted, and he is going to carry the ball a lot of times. So he's going to be the guy. He's going to be the dude down there in Ames. They get Kyle Kemp back for his 6th year. You get a 6-year quarterback. That doesn't happen very often. He got an NCAA pass, so he's playing his sixth year of football.
Is that a medical red shirt in there?
Yeah, medical. Well, he must have taken your regular red shirt and then taking a medical red shirt as well. But they should go bowling again. I think they'll get to a bowl game. I think 6 or 7 wins should be good. I think they'll get another high profile win. So keep an eye on the Cyclones. I don't know, in terms of moving forward, this might be as good as it gets for the Clones though. I don't know if they are going to push up into that upper echelon with the Oklahoma State, Texas guys. But they should be an exciting team to watch next year and one to definitely keep an eye on.
Yeah, I'm still bitter about the 2011 defeat of Oklahoma State that the Cyclones pulled off, knocked us out of the national championship game. Unjustly, I feel. We were better than LSU that year, but whatever.
We were better than LSU.
Not bitter about that at all. But
last one.
Okay. Now I bring you our dear listeners to the team that you genuinely should be following because they are the greatest school in all of college football. Your Oklahoma State Cowboys.
This is excruciating to sit on the other side of. I'm telling you right now.
I do not know why you would not encourage everyone in Australia to adopt Oklahoma State as their team. I mean, sure, the logistics of getting to Stillwater, Oklahoma is not simple. It is smack bang in the middle of the country. And even like when you fly into Oklahoma City, you got to find a way to drive an hour out to Stillwater. So, like, that's an expensive Uber ride if they got that there. I don't even know. But the Cowboys are the preeminent force in playing offensive football. And to couple with that, this year they brought in a new defensive coordinator who I automatically assume is going to make them an elite defensive unit. So they're right in the conversation for national champion, I would have thought. This year, in all seriousness, they have struggling to cover a couple of really good players from the last few years in the program, being the quarterback Mason Rudolph and wide receiver James Washington. So both of those guys were drafted together to play at Pittsburgh, and both set, you know, multiple records at the school and were super successful. So in order to fill that hole there, there's a fair bit of change that's going to be required, a fair bit of stepping up. What they do have going for them is that they have a hell of a running back in Justice Hill, who's been around before. This will be his third year at the program, and he is electric. He can run someone over. He can run around someone. He's going to be one of the best backs in the Big 12, if not the country. And they're going to lean on him, especially early on when whoever wins the quarterback battle is acclimatizing themselves. He's going to put up some big numbers. He's not alone. They've got some others who will assist in carrying the ball, but he's going to be a big part of this year. And, I mean, they're going to score. They're going to go after it. They're going to score. So if you are looking for someone to follow, and you know, you think you're going to continue on this journey with us and listening to us, you're definitely going to get hear about them from us. I'm going to give them a bit of airtime. So as long as our O-line can stay healthy, I think Oklahoma State are going to be right in the mix of the Big 12 this year, and everyone out there should get Pistol Pete tattoos and love Oklahoma State as much as I do.
Okay, I'm just going to rein it in a fraction here and bring some perspective to this little argument. I think Oklahoma State will have too much to cover in terms of James Washington and Mason Rudolph. I think Mike Gundy's another really, really good coach. A lot of good coaches in the Big 12. He is another really, really good coach, and he will get that offense humming. New defense, again, we always hear, you know, new defensive coordinator. He'll be attacking, and we'll put a wait-and-see label on that one. I have a look at their schedule. They start with the Missouri State Bears in Stillwater. They're not good. The South Alabama Jaguars in Stillwater, they're not good either. Boise State, who will probably be the best team from the group of five, I would suggest. They'll be really, really good next year. That could be a bit of a challenge. But again, in Stillwater, so I think they'll get over them.
UCF won't be happy about that.
Yeah, I think coaching changes and, yeah, it'll be UCF, Boise. Anyway. Then they get Texas Tech in Stillwater. So the first four games are in Stillwater. Then they go to Lawrence, Kansas to face the Jayhawks, who we've spoken about being not a very good program. Then they get Iowa State back in Stillwater. So they really should be looking at 6-0. I mean, they leave the state once before halfway through October, and that's to go to a team that didn't win a game in the Big 12 last year.
We'll be talking flags at that point, baby.
Yeah, the wheels will come off late, though. Their last five games are Texas in Stillwater, at Baylor, which should be a win. They go to Norman, Oklahoma for Bedlam, so they'll struggle there, I think.
About you.
You are you. West Virginia, who will be tough, but again in Stillwater, and then they go to TCU to finish the year. So the season's going to be made in those last 5 weeks, and a lot of the schedule, actually, if we have a look for a lot of the teams, they all match up in those last 5 weeks. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out at the end. But yeah, I don't quite share Will's enthusiasm for Oklahoma State. I think TCU will be too good. I think Oklahoma will be too good. And I think that Oklahoma, the Cowboys will be the odd man out this year, unfortunately for them. Last ball club of the Big 12, I'm going to talk about Texas, a team that you're very high on this year. I don't know why I'm so skeptical about all these teams, but I don't share your enthusiasm. Texas has only won more games since 2010 than Texas Tech, Iowa State, and Kansas, which makes them like the sixth best team in the Big 12. Is that what Texas football aims for? Probably not.
But 100% not.
That is where they are at. Texas Tech will be happy with that, though. They'll be thrilled.
I mean, they will be. But all you're telling me here is this is a great chance to buy low. You can get in real low on Texas. I mean, this is a real preeminent force of college football who's been dormant for a long time. Never are you going to get an opportunity to buy so low just as they're on the precipice.
The precipice? I think they're a little way off the precipice, but we'll wait and see. Tom Herman's first year wasn't great. He went 6-6. They lose Michael Dixon. He is a punter. He won the Ray Guy Award last year, All-American. Originally from Melbourne, he actually declared for the draft early, which you don't see out of punters too often. He won an MVP of a bowl game. You don't see that too often either. And he's being talked about as one of the biggest losses on Texas's team last year. So
dude is a transcendent talent.
A transcendent talent. He's at the Seattle Seahawks now. So if you're a Seahawks fan, keep an eye out for Michael Dixon. He's doing things in the preseason at the moment. And they also lost guys like Connor Williams on the O-line. He went the first round. Malik Jefferson, at that kind of outside linebacker, rush end sort of position. They lost him on the defensive side of things as well. They haven't made a decision on quarterback. Whilst they've got two very talented guys there, they need to get that sorted before the season starts. I've got some concerns around their running game. They only rushed for not even 400 yards last... Oh, sorry, 400 yards was... Not even 400 yards was their leading rusher in Sam Ehlinger. He's the quarterback. And you need to get more out of your running game than that. So until they can start running the ball, I don't see Texas as being a big threat. Their back end has got a lot of holes in it. One guy I'm really excited about is Colin Johnson. He is a 6'6" receiver in the mold of the kind of Julio Jones, Calvin Johnson types that dominated at the NFL. I think he's going to be another really, really good one along those lines. And I've got Chris Boyd as well, who's another wide receiver, should be good. But keep an eye on Colin Johnson over the next couple of years. He is going to be a really, really good one. Although we'd lost Michael Dixon to the NFL, the Australian contingent continues in Texas in Ryan Buchevsky. He stays there. He's from Sydney. He's from Sydney originally, then moved to Melbourne, went to Pro Kick, as they sort of all do. And he, at this stage, is the only punter on the roster. So he looks like he'll be handling most of the punting duties there. If you want to watch an interesting game, just having a quick look at their schedule, I think Texas will be better. Yes. I think they'll push for the championship? No. I think it's going to be another rebuilding type year. If you want to watch a really, really fun game, check out Texas Maryland last year. This year, Texas play Maryland again to open the season. There was 3 special teams touchdowns in that game last year, so that was good fun. They also get USC in Austin, Texas. So that should be a good game as well. And again, like we said earlier, they finished the season with Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Texas Tech. So they've got a tough kind of middle to end section of the schedule. And it's pretty brutal in terms of their away games as well, because they do have to travel to, well, the Red River Rivalry is in Dallas, but it's kind of a neutral site game for them. So Texas for me will be better than 6-6, but I don't see them finishing any higher than about 4th or 5th in the Big 12 next year. You are big on Texas,
I'm
Will?
Big on Texas.
Why?
I think that Tom Herman has had his year to integrate into the system. There's so much talent there. I think he's a good coach. He's had a lot of success with Houston, and before that as an assistant at Ohio State. And I think he's going to get the most out of that. And that's what they haven't been doing. I mean, these guys still recruit at an elite level. They recruit as one of the elite programs, but they just haven't been performing at that level. I think he's a coach who can do that. So I fully expect them to come out and surprise a few people quite early on.
Now, you've put Texas in your championship draft team, I believe, Hook'em Horns. Now, you're saying that they are going to be one of the top four teams come the end of the year. Obviously, there's a long way to go between now and then. I don't even have them in the top four in the Big 12. So a bit of a disagreement here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's, I don't know. It's a bit divisive because, you know, you're fair in saying that they haven't done anything and I'm going out on a bit of a limb assuming they're going to do something, but let's see how it plays out.
Okay, final thoughts on the Big 12. Who's going to win it?
I think that Texas will win the Big 12 this year. I'll back up my statement saying that they're going to be the team to represent the Big 12 in the playoff. And I don't know. I think it could be tight at the top if they drop a couple of games, because there's going to be quite a few teams that will be around that 10-win mark, because I think there's quite a few good teams. But they could knock each other off a bit, so that could open things up.
Okay, I think Oklahoma, we'll see a repeat of last season's matchup with Oklahoma facing TCU again. West Virginia, Oklahoma State miss out at the top, but it's a bit of a dog eat dog at the top there, and any one of those top sort of four or five teams, I think, have got just as much chance as anybody else. Okay, that brings us to the end of Big 12 Review. Hope you've enjoyed this bonus podcast. Get us on Twitter and Instagram at College Football Down Under. Feel free to flick us any questions about the Big 12. We will be back soon with more college football reviews, news, and hopefully sell you on a few more of these ball clubs. My name's Aaron. That's Will. We will see you next time. Thank you.